expectation or confidence. Expectation or confidence. So hope is more than just some kind of loose term that has no meaning. Hope truly means, in the original Greek, what we're going to read this morning, means expectation or confidence. So we should have expectation and confidence in our God, right? That's where our hope should lie. Hope in God for everything. Our hope in God is the only thing we really have to hang on to, because we see the world and what's happening. People let us down. Money lets us down. Jobs get rid of us. Wives throw us out of the house. Kids walk, you know, leave our lives. The only thing that really remains is the hope in God, because life is tough. I mean, the world is tough. You know, like Forrest Gump says, life's like a box of chocolates, right? Never know what you're going to get. And sometimes that is so true. Life at any moment can change direction for us. But the one thing that's constant, the one thing that remains, the one thing that never changes, is the love and the presence of God in our lives. Even we can't see him, I promise you, he's there. In those moments of grief, he's there. Those moments of struggle, he's there. Those moments of suicide, he's there. Those moments you want to just give up, he is there, because there's hope in God. And as long as our hope remains in Christ, church, we're okay. See, I have a great expectation of a future world coming. Some people doubt that. They say, what's after this? Nothing. We live a few lives, years on earth. We die. We rot in the ground. What was the purpose of it? No, I got hope in a lot more than this life here. I've got hope in a life yet to come. I got hope in a kingdom I've not yet seen. I've got hope in a place I've not yet been. I've got hope in the hands of Jesus I've not physically touched. I've got hope that I will cross over and become all God has planned for me to become from the very beginning. Because, see, I am, and you are, if you're born again, a seed of Abraham. You are seed of God's family. You're part of his kingdom and part of his people. And we one day will be eternally changed into the very image God created us to be to begin with. Immortal, unsickable, unheadacable, everything going to be gone and forevermore healed. Our grief lifted, our fears removed, everything restored like it's supposed to be. So I have hope in that. So I can have joy in this earth knowing this is not the final stay. Knowing death can't take it away, the enemy can't steal it away from me, because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was written there by the blood of Jesus. It is sealed until the day the seals are broken and my name is called. And when my breath leaves my body, my seal will be broken and my name will be called. And I shall walk into what God had called me into to begin with. I have hope in that, church. So what are you saying, preacher? Put it in old-fashioned terms so I can understand. Okay, I believe I'm going to heaven. That's what I believe. That there is a place for me beyond this earth. And, man, I can't. That's an exciting place. I tell you, the older you get, thank you, Jeremy, the more you realize how good heaven looks, don't it? Turn with me. We're going to start some scriptures this morning. We're going to start in Psalms. Do I have that up there? Yeah. It's up there. Psalms 146. I was trying to remember if I typed it in on the thing that I did. So, and we're going to read verses 3-6 to open up with. We're talking about a hope in darkness. There's a hope in your darkness. You may be going through a very dark time now. And don't you feel the pressure like never before in the world? I mean, isn't it harder to stay happy? It is for me. Is it harder for y'all to stay happy or stay in peace? There's so much stuff coming at us, so much junk we see in the world, so many challenges, so much stuff, and it just seems like it's harder for us to walk in peace and joy than it used to be because of the enemy attacks. But there is hope in your darkness. So if you're going through a dark place today, a dark time in your life, there is hope. So have confidence and expectation that things are going to change, because in God they will. Chapter 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Do not place your trust in people where there is no help. Not saying God doesn't use people to help us. He does. But our trust cannot be in that. Our trust must be in something bigger. Verse 4, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. You put your trust in a man, they're gone. Give you an example. Tony Button, good friend of mine, still a good friend, though he's not here. Wonderful mentor in my life. But you know what? He is of no help to me right now. Zero. He has crossed over and he's celebrating. And he's singing his Elvis voice in heaven now. You ever heard him sing? He sounded like Elvis when he sung. Except he sung Christian songs. He didn't sing, you know, Hound Dog, stuff like that. But he had this deep Elvis voice. Amazing, great, a sweet sound. Thank you, appreciate that. I say the hip swing because we're in church. It's rated G this morning. You know, he's gone. I used to call him all the time. I depended on him to help me, give me advice, information, pray with me, lay hands on me, prophesy into my life, and I loved him. He was there anytime I called. Well, you know what? I can't call him no more. He's not there no more. So my trust has to be in something more than what man can give me. My trust has to be in who God is, because God can't die again. Jesus died once to live forever, and now he's forever alive. That's who I place my trust in. Once man leaves, they're gone. Verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is the man who has God, whose help is in God. Happy is that man. Why? Because we have a source. We have an outlet. We have a reason. We have a purpose. We have somewhere to go to for our help. God hears your cry. And you know, sometimes we think God is not answering us. Man, I've been there so many times. I'm serious. I mean, I've been like, you know, hello? God, no bars. Hey, can you hear me? Do you even know I'm here? Let me text God. No response. Let me Facebook God. No response. Let me tweet God. Hello, God? You ever felt that way? I have. I mean, you're praying and all you hear is crickets. I'm going to hear this great voice, God. And you know what? I can't explain why we don't hear God the times we want to hear God, but I can say this, that God is hearing us and that God is answering us and God is watching us and God is leading us. And there's times that God, as that inspirational quote says, in front of us, and maybe we can't see him because he's preparing a way for us before we get there. And God is fighting for us behind the scenes. Because, see, God knows everything's going to happen. You know, God knew the day my grandpa would pass away. God already knew that. God knew there was no surprise my grandpa gave up the ghost. God knew it. He had the day. God knew it. God knew my grandma would respond with grief and tears and pain, and my mother and her sisters. There's no surprise. God knew Melanie's dad would pass away. God knew that. Nothing catches God off by surprise. God knows. Knew Kathy's going to have a stroke. God knew that because he got all foreknowledge. God knows all things. So why I'm saying that is to say this. If we know God knows all things, it's to give us great confidence in knowing he's going to secure us and take care of us through all those things. Nothing catches him off guard or no mistake made. Everything happens God knows about. And we have a God that gets us through those times. And that strength that comes, we don't realize we even have the strength to. We think we wouldn't have the strength. You know, I think about, I've not lost a parent yet. I'm very blessed and very fortunate to be my age and I've lost a parent yet. Very fortunate. I'm probably the minority of being 42 instead of both my parents. I mean, you know, maybe not the minority, but I'm very thankful both my parents are here. I've not went through that grief yet. And I think about it sometimes. I've thought about that. How, if they weren't here, one of them was gone, how would I respond to that? You know, I'm an only child. I can't run away from it. I can't pretend it doesn't exist. I mean, if dad goes first, I've got to be there for mom. I can't just have my brothers or sisters handle it and say, I'm going to avoid it. I got to deal with it because I'm in the wheel. So I've got to deal with it. Being an only child's tough. And so I'm like, how I respond? I've not been there. And, you know, I see parents that lose children, and me and Mel talk about it. How do they deal with that? But you know what? There's some kind of strength in God that when that moment comes, when you lose a spouse or a child, or a parent, or a sibling, whoever's the close person in your life at that time, there's a supernatural strength that God shows up and gives you hope. Hope. It's going to be okay. I love you. I've not abandoned you. I'm going to get you through this. You're going to be all right. It's really comforting when you know the person you've lost is saved and already with the Lord. That gives you great comfort because we would not want them back for anything. You know, now I know I love my grandpa, and I'm further removed from him than my grandmother is, being his spouse of 60 years. I realize that. But I don't even think grandma, as much as she misses grandpa and loves him, would want to bring him back from what he's experiencing now. to suffer on this earth with his mind, sickness, heart. I think she loves him enough to say, boy, I miss you. But man, I'm jealous of you too, because I know where you're at. And I'll be joining you like old Fred T. Sanford. I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. I'm coming one day to join you. And so, you know what? Grandma realized, like David did, Grandma realizes that Grandpa can't come back to her, but she'll one day go to him. That's a promise we have in the Bible. Hope in that, church. There is nothing greater than hope. Hope feeds our faith. Doubt or unbelief feeds our doubt. What are you believing in? If you're believing in yourself, I feel sorry for you, because yourself's going to run out. But if you believe in God, that he is truly bigger than anything else, and your hope's placed in him and not in man, you will see God move on your behalf. See, God is so much bigger than any of our problems we have right now. Though they seem extreme, though they may seem unmountable, you see no answer for them, but God is still bigger than that. I've said many times that the problem I think we have as people is we measure our problems instead of measuring our God. Because if we truly see God as who he is, the problem looks like a speck in the ocean, because God's just that big. Man, God holds this universe in his hands. All these science channels talking about there's going to be an asteroid that'll hit. They've got it predicted, you know, so if somebody, it's got to hit so many years. We can't just keep getting by. We can keep getting by. We can go forever. God's hands got that. I'm not worried about an asteroid hitting the earth. I'm not worried about, I mean, you know what? God has got everything. No, do you know an asteroid cannot hit the earth unless God allows that? The asteroids have to obey the command of God. Everything has to obey the command of God. Nothing can change unless God speaks it to change. The polar bears aren't going to die unless God tells them to die. The ice caps ain't going to melt unless God tells it to melt. Nothing can happen outside the authority of God. He holds everything together in his hands. Like the old song, he's got the whole world in his hands. That's true. He is truly holding this world in his hands. We are spinning right now. We are rotating. We're on an axis. We're tilted. And the days change. Sun rises. Has never failed to rise since creation. Because God said it. When God said, let there be light, that one time he spoke, it was enough forever. And there'll be light till he says, let there be darkness. Because he's already spoken it. Trust in God. Glory to God. I'll get y'all happy here in a minute. Look at verse 6. Which made heaven and earth, the sea. Now God made heaven, everything above, earth, everything here, all the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Our hope should be in the one that created everything. There's nothing in the ocean made that God didn't make. It didn't just happen to be. It wasn't some kind of weird scientific genetic blow-up. Do you know they are still finding new species all over the world? New species are still being created. New animals are finding. Discovering things that never discovered before. God is still creating. God is still doing the work. God is still showing off. I love God showing off. Every sunset, God's showing off. You ever, church, take time to look at the sky in the evening if you don't already. Take time to look at that western horizon every night and see how beautifully it's painted, how different it is, how the pinks and the oranges and the blues are all just different every night. How the moon, you have the crescent and the half and the full and the new and the partial. You've got all these different shapes. God is so unique that when he made the stars, he made them in shapes. I mean, he was the inventor of the first connect the dot fun pad. Remember those as a kid, how you connect the dots to make a shape? We got the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper and scorpion and all the animals, and they got lions and tigers and bears, and they got all this stuff in the sky that makes shapes. God did that. I mean, how is that by accident? Even the one that's got the most atheist, non-believing, there is no God mind has to look at that and say, how do all these stars, constellations, make shapes? I mean, that's pretty unique that God would just, you know, this explosion just happened because of something, and all of a sudden everything just formed because of something, and now we can actually have shapes in the sky, and it just happened to be that way. No, it was designed by God. Our hope needs to be in God. You know, I told Melanie this the other day at the house. I said, you know, it is easier for people to believe in God than not believe in God. Really think about that. Is it not easier for people It's easier to believe in God. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. I said it wrong. Okay. It's easier to believe in God than it is not to believe in God. If you really look around. It's just too wonderful. It's just too magnificent. The earth's just too beautiful. From volcanoes to mountains to seas. They still, as smart as man is, try Googling where does space end and see what you come up with. There's no answer because man's not found it. Man, with all of our smart technology, has not found the end of space. It goes on and on and on and on and on forever and ever and ever. And you know what? There's more in our little solar system. There are billions of other galaxies. Billions. They have looked light years ahead with technology and saw billions of galaxies with planets and stars and moons. Billions of them. I mean, man, you're talking about God showing off. It wasn't like he just made one little planet and one little human. Hey, I'm God. I mean, look what he did. Look at the creation that he made. Look at the animal world, how beautiful the animal world is. Creation, I mean, God made the sparrow, the ladybug, the butterfly, the caterpillar, the old black snake I don't like. God made them all. And they're all beautiful. And they're all unique in their own way. And he made my animal, my favorite animal of the world. You know what it is? Can anybody guess? No, my family knows. Does anybody know what my favorite animal is? Anybody? Huh? Yes, the lion. You know why? Yes, and? Yes. Hakuna Matata, Don. Yes. Love Lion King. I love the lion because it is the king of the jungle. Well, food lion, yeah. It's the king of the jungle. Nobody messed with the lion, boy, when it walks up. And see, I like lions, too, because they make all the women do the work. Don't the women lion hunt? Yeah. So the lioness is hunting, the lion sleeps. So I like that. Go bring home the food, baby. I like hearing watch after the pups. So Melanie's out there. And I'm back here. Johnny, sit down. What does that mean? Oh, okay. Oh, that's true. Yeah, they got plump skinny. That's right. She's not a very good hunter. But I love the lion, king of the jungle. I mean, look, you got giraffes with big tall necks. You got hippopotamuses who just look funny, right? You got a rhinoceros with a horn on its nose. I mean, you got an animal with spots on it. And it's not because you're seeing things. They're there. You got animals with stripes. You got a zebra. Is it white with black stripes or is it black with white stripes, right? Nobody knows. But you got a zebra. You got an ostrich who puts his head in the ground when it's scared. You got a turtle that has a shell on its back. I mean, what animal? I mean, a porcupine. Who would have thought of an animal that would stick you? I mean, look at the uniqueness of what God has done. The bumblebee as Dee sings a song. His little wings can't. Do you know it's a fact? Scientists cannot understand. They say the bumblebee should not be able to fly because its body weighs too much for its wings. So how does it fly? I don't know. Three-letter word? God? The bumblebee. I mean, just we see thing after thing that proves the creation of a great master planner. That our hope should be in him, not in man, not in the world, not in our government, but in God. God is our source and God is our hope. God is our healer. We have depended on medicine and government and money and all this stuff way too long whenever God's the source of it all. God is my financier. God is my healer. God is my restorer. God is my resurrector. God is my king and God is my Lord. God is my Lord of all. He's our source. And man, if we could return back to that time of we reading the story of these men and women that depended on God. When Abraham was called to leave his country It says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. The Bible says he did according to the word of God and obeyed God and left his familiar surroundings and trusted God to lead him to a different place. Blind faith. When he told Abraham to sacrifice his son, oh my gosh. Think about that. I did a demonstration of that one time. If you were here a few years ago, I brought Jamie up on stage and laid him across here. Y'all remember that? As an example to say, look at this. Here's your son. I didn't go through with it. You look scared there, Margaret. He's sitting right there. He's okay. But I brought him up here. We laid him across the stage, and I had a sword in my hand, if you remember, a knife or something. I think it was a knife. And to give a visual of what Abraham had to go through, he says, if you love me, sacrifice your son. Can you see, imagine that? Abraham and his little son, they're walking, and his son looks at him and says, Dad, I see the wood. You know, and I see everything we have, but where's the sacrifice? There's no animal. What are you going to sacrifice? Imagine what he must have thought when he asked him that. He said, son, God will provide. And right, the Bible says, when he raised his arm up, he heard a noise over beside him. And he looked around, and over in the woods, he heard a rustling. And there was a ram caught in the weeds. And God spoke, said, there's your sacrifice. Now that I know you would have gone through, now I will bless you. Man, if we would just trust God to the end, not just when it's convenient, not just on the mountaintop, but trust him through the darkness. Man, it's in that darkness that we can sometimes grow the very most and see God the very best. It's in those times that we are seeking his face in such a real and honest way, because there's times that we have nowhere else to turn to but God. Our lives are a mess. We're out of control. Our lives are out of control. And there's nothing that can fix it but God. Don't lose hope. There's hope in your darkness. Go to the next scripture. Romans 4:16. This is talking about the story of Abraham. And it says, therefore is a faith that it might be by grace. The end of the promise might be sure to all the seed. We're part of Abraham's seed now because of grace. Not to that which only is of the law, but to those also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Something Pastor Mike's New Year's Eve service spoke of, I thought was very good. He brought up a good point. I don't know if y'all caught that if you were here Tuesday night. He brought a very good point up. He says that we have been grafted. He used the word grafted. We've been grafted into the seed of Abraham by the grace of Jesus. Now, I think we know that, I think. But when it's talking about the seed of Abraham, a lot of people just think about if you were born a Jew. Or if you're Jewish by nature. But see, we've been grafted into the seed of Abraham by faith in Christ. So the same promise that's to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Daniel, Elijah, the same promise to them applies to us today. Because we've been grafted into the seed of Abraham, part of his family. So I thought that was a good point Pastor Mike made, that we're part of his seed. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which we be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Abraham believed in hope against hope. When it looked impossible, he still believed. When it looked like it couldn't happen, he still believed. When it looked like, God, what are you talking about? He still believed. He went against hope, not with doubt. And he was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, if you remember the story in Genesis, an angel appeared to Abraham, says, you're going to conceive a child, you and Sarah. They had never had one at this point together. Abraham was old. He was out of business that way. And Sarah had never, ever been able to conceive a child. Her womb was dead from birth, which makes it to me even more of a miracle. It wasn't she had kids before. She had never had a kid. She was dead in her womb. And God says, you're going to have a child. Now imagine this. None of us in here are 100 years old, but let's just, you know, I don't know. For some of you that are older, let's just say, you're going to have a baby. An angel appears to grandmother and says, you're going to have a child. Grandma's like, First of all, with who, Lord? That'd be my first question. And Lord, do you know the age I'm at? I'm going to have a child? Are you kidding me? In fact, the Bible says Sarah laughed when the angel first came to her. Laughed. You're crazy. I've never had a child. I'm 90 years old and my womb is dead. It's always been dead. I've never been able to have a child. And you're telling me at 90 years old, never having a child, I won't conceive now. Yep, so I'm telling you. A little Abraham says he was not weak in his faith. Next verse. He staggered not. He didn't doubt what that means. At the promise of God through unbelief. He did not allow unbelief to be his source. He trusted God. God, if you said it, I believe it. If you said it, you'll do it. What if we could have that mentality? I mean, man, we believe everything on the internet comes out. Everything. If there was a story today that says giant duck eats grizzly bear, before you even researched it, y'all be calling, you'll be texting your friends, man, hear about that grizzly bear? And before you know it, it changed, you know, four or five times. You know, it'd be giant Martian eats giant grizzly bear duck. I mean, it would change. But you'd believe that. But when we read the Word of God, why do we doubt? Man, Jesus didn't really die on no cross. He's really not the only way. There's really no God. Nobody's listening. Nobody's up there. You know, he doesn't love me, doesn't hear me, doesn't care for me, doesn't answer me. If he's really there, why is things happen? He's really God, why is bad things there? If he's really God, why is there evil? If he's really God, why won't he fix everything? If he's really God, we have all these things that we can't believe whenever God's word said it. I said this the other day, or a few weeks ago, I said this. All of us believe, I think, in here, that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated at the Ford Theater. We all believe that. None of us were there for that. That was 200 years ago. Well, not 200, but 100 and some. None of us were there. None of us were alive when that happened. But we believe it. Why? It's recorded in history, right? And there were witnesses. In the book of Matthew, the very last chapter, I think it's Matthew, Jesus, when he ascended, he appeared to many witnesses. And he walked the earth for 40 days showing himself to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. This is recorded in history that Jesus died and he rose. The same Jesus. Thomas wanted to feel the scars on his hands. Let me touch your nail prints. Thomas touched the very hands that hung on the cross. The same Jesus that died on Mount Golgotha was the very same Jesus that came out of the tomb the third day. He showed himself for 40 days, and then he was seen leaving the earth. There were witnesses even when he departed. He was standing there with all these people. He says, I must go away now, but I won't leave you comfortless. I will send you back a comforter. Wait on me. Wait on the promise. Can you imagine being one of the ones standing around Jesus as he ascended and disappeared? Gone. There were witnesses. Church, we can believe in God. We can believe in this word. We can believe what it says is true. And there are people trying to doubt it and cut it up and take pieces out that don't apply and pieces that do apply to justify what they believe and what they want to, how they want to live. This word of God, here's me. It's where I'm at. Now, there's folks a lot smarter than me. It's like I said Wednesday. It's like I said Tuesday night. I'm not, how to say, I won't say it like I said Tuesday night. See if any of y'all get this. I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. That's why I said Tuesday night. It should have been I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But see, I said I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. And there are some ministers that will tell you, I believe Jesus died and rose. I believe there's heaven. But I don't believe Jonah got swallowed by a fish. I don't believe Daniel's in a lion's den. I don't believe there's no big 9-foot giant David hit with a stone. I think those are all just examples. Here's where I'm as a Christian and as a pastor. I believe all this word. I can't believe none of it. That's where I'm at. Because if I got to start picking and choosing what's truth, then what do I know is truth anymore? Did Jesus die and raise? Is he the Son of God? Was he slain for my sins? I mean, if I start doubting anything, I got to doubt everything. And I don't. I believe there was a flood. I believe there was a giant that got slayed. I believe that there was Gideon who slew all them people with 300 men. I believe that there was a prophet that got caught up by a chariot of horses into the sky. I believe there was a man named Moses with his old white beard and old long white hair, who walked with that staff, who held that staff in front of the Red Sea, and God parted the waters. I believe that, church. Call me a fool, call me shallow, call me old, whatever. But man, if my hope is not in this, I have no hope at all. None. The only hope I have, if I don't believe in this, is being lost from God forever. Man, I believe in His Word. I believe everything that it says. I believe that my sins are truly forgiven by the grace of Jesus. I believe He sees me as righteous, not as condemned. I believe He sees me as forgiven and not judged. I believe that everything's been washed away and I am forevermore His child, not by what I've done or what I'll ever do in the future, but what He did one time, the one offering, the one sacrifice, the one blood spilled that forever purified me, that He sees James Lewis as His royal priesthood, as a child of God forever, and that cannot change by what I do because He has done the work for me. That's what grace really is. And we know what grace is, man. We walk in that joy and that security because I believe in what His Word says. Abraham did not stagger the promise of God, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being, I love this verse, he was fully persuaded, that means convinced, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Pastor, God don't speak to us that way no more. Sure He does. One, we have the Word of God that He speaks to us. You know, He says that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. That's a promise. That's His Word. So I can take that to the bank. God, I'm Yours. I'm called. So all things are working out for my good. I may not see it, and man, I may not feel it, and it may not be good right now. God never said there wouldn't be bad seasons, but He said, I will never leave you in your season. I'll never forsake you. I'm there with you, faithful forever. So there's darkness. There's bad times. But it doesn't mean God's not there. Abraham was fully convinced, fully persuaded that what you told me, God, you go do it. So you know what? That gets me thinking. I get reminded of things I've done in my life, like times I prayed prayers, certain prayers, and then trust God. Okay, God, I prayed it. I believe it. You will bring it to pass. You know, we dedicated all three of our children as little babies, little infants. We dedicated them, gave them back to God. Anointed them with oil, gave them to God. That's a promise. That's something that I know God honored and will honor always because of that act of dedication. We may not see the things we want to see right now happening in our lives, but it doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass. We have things and we have dreams and we have visions and we have desires, and maybe they're not here now, but it doesn't mean they're not on the way. When angels spoke to Sarah about this child coming forth, it was like, and if I'm wrong, you're welcome to correct me, because I'm thinking it was like 12 years before the child came forth, after the angel said it was going to happen. 12 years. So it wasn't like the angel said, you're going to have a baby, and then 9 months later, boom, hey, rocking my baby. Here, Abraham. It wasn't like that. 12 years or so passed by before it happened. He was already 100. I mean, really? Thank God I just kind of sped it up a little bit. But no. So it took a little while. So just because God says it doesn't mean it's going to happen right now. But it does mean it's on the way. I believe that, church. It's on the way. Our hope must be that what God said is more powerful and more real than what the world tries to show us is, or what friends try to tell us is, or what is happening in our circumstances now. We have to look beyond our circumstance and look to something much bigger than that. And that's God. The little video I played, I love the line that said, God did not bring you this far to leave you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He brought you this far to keep carrying you. God doesn't drop you off midway. God doesn't kick you out at a certain point. God's with you forever. He remains faithful. Next verse. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's the last verse, right? The half, well, fourth verse. Okay. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham was counted righteous, not by the law and not by his works, but by his faith in God. Type and shadow of what was to come for God's people in this generation. We're counted righteous, not by the law or by our works, but by faith in Christ. That's the only way we're righteous, is faith in Christ. We are not righteous, church, by what we do, because none of us can do that good. We may do good on Monday and Tuesday. By Wednesday, you're going to be a bear. And all of a sudden, you're going to lose all that righteousness again. I mean, we can't keep it. You know, we can't keep it. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that we can be righteous by how we live. Now, I believe that we should live for God, and our works should reflect God, yes. But we are saved because of faith in Christ alone. Grace of Jesus. Go to the next slide there. I got one thing I put on there. We think of all the reasons not to believe God instead of the one reason we should. Because he said it. Think of how many reasons people justify not believing in God. Well, if there's a God, my child wouldn't have died. If there's a God, they wouldn't be in a wreck. If there's a God, I wouldn't have lost my job. If there's a God, my wife wouldn't have left me. If there was a God, I wouldn't have cancer. If there was a God, you know, I wouldn't have this. If there's a God, we justify all these reasons why there's not a God. Still, the one reason we should say, I know there's a God, because this word says it. Psalms tells us the fool says in his heart there is no God. The fool says there's no God. Man, there's too much evidence that our hope should be in something a lot bigger than us. Because we can't save ourselves. We see multi-millionaires, actors, singers, people in the media, worldwide people, presidents, world leaders, that die like anybody else. Mandela, gone. Presidents, gone. Reagan, all-timer, gone. Billy Graham, one day, gone. Doesn't matter what position you're in, where you're at. If your hope's not in Christ, there's no hope at all. None of us can keep on living forever in this state. And there are more people living longer than ever before. There are more people over 100 in the world now than ever been in time. But you know what? Unless the Lord returns, they won't live forever in that state. Death will have its toll on the flesh. But if our hope is in Christ, we have a whole new world waiting on us. Like the old Disney song. A whole new world. That's from Aladdin, right? Yeah. Sorry, big Disney fan. Still like the Disney movies. Most of them. It's a whole new world waiting on us. Man, can you imagine? I use it like this in closing. I'll say this. This is a sweet memory I have. Back when I was a little boy, The Wizard of Oz came on TV like once a year. It was a big deal. And I remember that my grandparents came over. I don't know if it wasn't every year, I don't think. Was it just one year? My grandparents had a black and white TV. Still had a black and white TV. No color TV. Well, we had a color TV at our house as a little boy. And you know, Wizard of Oz, if you remember the movie, the original one I'm talking about, the real one, it starts out black and white. And then when the house lands on top of the witch and her legs sticking out, she comes out of the door, everything's in color. Well, Grandma and Grandpa one year come over, they'd never seen it, bless their heart, never seen it in color. They stood out of the house and it was still black and white, bless their little hearts. So they come to the house one year to watch it in color. And I thought how spiritual that is, how that before the earthly kingdom, you know, she's spinning around, you know, and it's black and white, and it's all chaotic, and her world's upside down. She sees that witch on the bicycle going by her, and I'm you know, waving at her, and she sees all these people, and, you know, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, she's, you know, the winds have gotten, she's bouncing around, and, you know, about fail. she's bouncing around, and then she lands, boom. She gets up and opens that door, and all of a sudden, it's a world she's never seen. Color, flowers, munchkins, a world that she had never seen before. Now, whether the munchkins in heaven, I don't know, but if they believe in Jesus, there will be munchkins in heaven. That's right. All God's children be in heaven. And so she walked out, and there's these beautiful flowers and a gold brick road, and everybody's so friendly and welcoming, and you know, and she's on a, it's just everything just changed. Now, I know it gets kind of intense later on with the, you know, the flying monkeys, and that's not heaven. But I'm talking about just the part where she opened the door. Whole new world. Man, that's our life, church. That's what we got waiting on us. We're living in black and white right now. But there will be a day we see it in full color. We see the full image of what God has prepared for us. The crystal seas, the beautiful the beautiful world. That's, did you know the Bible even says it in Romans? If you don't believe it's in Romans, it's scripture. that even nature has been altered by the fall of man. That's why there's tornadoes and earthquakes, and that's why the weather patterns are so crazy. People say, well, I don't understand. If you read Romans 1, it tells you that even nature itself is waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God because it altered creation completely, the fall of man. It altered the animal world, the weather patterns, our lives. It altered everything, the fall of man did. Sin changed everything. But one day it'll all be in harmony and peace again. You see the bumper sticker on the back of those station wagons, you know, with all different religions, can't we live in peace, you know? No, we can't. Not here. It'll never happen, church. It'll never happen. But there'll be a day that there'll be united peace in God's kingdom forever. And every bumper sticker that believes in Jesus Christ will be there. Not the ones that say atheists, probably, but the ones that believe in Jesus will be there. That's good news for us. There's hope for your darkness. It's a new year, church. If you're in a dark season right now, you hang on. You believe and you hang on and you trust the Lord. He's wanting you to fully rely on Him and not on man and not on what you can do in your own strength. Because I'm going to tell you something, my strength wears out a lot. I get tired, I get weak, I get frustrated, I get discouraged. Anybody else with me on that? But with God, He ought to be our strength. We ought to be hooked up to Him like a feeding tube. You know when you're a baby in the womb and you got the umbilical cord? You know the baby survives by that umbilical cord. Everything that goes into that mother is connected to that umbilical cord into the baby. We ought to be hooked up to the strength of God. Hooked into Him. That when life hits us, we let it go to Him. When storms come, we let it go to Him. And let Him be our strength. Let's stand to our feet. We'll close out in a prayer this morning. It's a new year, Lord, 2014. We thank You for it. We thank You for 2013. There were many victories. There were some defeats. There was some loss. There was some obstacles and mountains. But God, there was a lot of good things that happened for us in 2013. A lot of good things happened. And we want to thank You for the blessings of keeping us well and healed, providing for our bills and keeping our families safe and watching over our children. Thank You, God, for Your blessings in 2013. For this year coming up, God, I pray for Your favor and Your blessing upon everyone here in this body, upon all those that are here this morning, that this be a year, God, that they see You clearly, that their faith is placed in You, that we are drawn into a more intimate relationship with You, not just a church thing, but a real relationship thing with You, Lord. That we are drawn to You, that we pray more, that we seek Your face more, that we talk to You more, that we hear from You more, that we rely on You more. Let this be a year, God, that You are seen in our lives like never before. Thank You, God, for this brand new year You brought us into. And we know there is hope in You, that no matter what we have been through or what's yet lying ahead of us, as long as our hope is in You, we will come through and we will stand and we will survive. Because our hope is placed in One who will never let us down. Thank You, Jesus, that You hold us in Your hands, and You are going to never, ever, ever let us go. Thank You, God. Our hope is in You, and we give You honor and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all be seated for a minute. If I can have Bruce come up this morning, he'll play us.